Hey, I'm Bardi Arez, and I'm the Stop Drinking Coach. Welcome to my podcast where I teach you how to stop drinking, how to quit craving, and how to begin the journey back to yourself so that you can transform your life. After a 14-year binge drinking career, starting and stopping dozens of times and trying everything in the book from AA to therapy, I finally discovered the key to sustainable sobriety. And on this podcast, you're going to learn practical tips, tools, and strategies to help you quit drinking alcohol the easy way so you can finally step into the next chapter of your life and begin fulfilling your potential. For private one-on-one or group coaching, visit www.thestopdrinkingcoach.com and book a call with me. Hey, welcome back to the Stop Drinking Coach podcast. I'm your host, Bardi Arez. I'm the Stop Drinking Coach, and I am really excited to dig into this episode. I believe that what I'm about to share with you is going to change your life. And the title of this episode, you might think is a little off or weird, and how does this relate to drinking? You know, the brain is a predictive modeling system. This is incredibly important to understand, right? Because as human beings, we all have consciousness, we all have awareness, and we all have this human operating system that we inhabit. But most people, I would say the vast majority of society, 90%+ of people have no idea what's actually happening and how this thing works. And in this episode, I really want to dig in and create a model and a map to begin to help you better understand and interpret how you become who we are and what's actually happening and how it's all connected together. So in this episode, I'm really going to dive in and help you understand a new way to begin to make sense of your reality, okay? And much of healing, right? Much of overcoming the challenges in our life is developing the capacity within yourself or within ourselves to reprocess meaning and to look at things in a new way, right? Why do you go to therapy? Why do you have a psychotherapist? Why do you do all these different things? What do they help you do? They help you look at things in a different way, and they help you apply new meaning to them. And that's what this episode is going to help you do. When you are open to reinterpreting data, you experience change. Again, let me say that one more time. When you develop the courage and awareness and capacity within yourself to reinterpret data, you gain the ability to change. So let's dig in. When you are born, you are whole and complete. There is nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're not less than. You're not good enough. You're not undeserving. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to show up a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way in order to receive admiration, to receive love, to receive safety, to receive support. Okay? You are capable of anything and everything. Okay, when you are born, you are simply a conscious vessel that represents infinite potential in any direction. You can use your energy to create and move towards any mode of reality that you would like. There are no blocks. There are no perceived limitations. Do you remember? Remember how kids, right? Maybe you have kids of your own. Remember, kids are willing to explore even dangerous things and are convinced of the fact that they're going to be astronauts, superheroes, and that they're going to save the world, right? When you are born, limitation does not exist. Limitation is a program and it is imposed upon you through the experience of reality, which you're going to learn, okay? Our conscious energy has an inborn biological and an innate drive to express itself, to pursue, and to create. Our conscious energy has an inborn biological innate drive to express itself, to pursue, and to create. You are a divine gift from the universe, okay? Just look at a baby, right? When we look at a baby, all we see is pure innocence, and we see that baby as full of potential. There's nothing wrong with that baby. We're not judging that baby. That baby doesn't have any limiting beliefs, okay? And when we're born, right, when you're born, your brain is like an empty sponge. It has absolutely no data besides basic instincts like crying to get attention, okay? When you're born, you have no language, you have no perceptions, you have no models, you have no meaning, you have no interpretations, you have no beliefs, you have nothing. You are literally thrust into an alien civilization. And what I want you to do, unless you're driving, is, you know, make sure you're safe, obviously, is take a second to like close your eyes. And I know you're probably an adult listening to this. Take a second to close your eyes and just try to remember how alien this experience was. Consider and remember and connect to the fact that you didn't ask to be here, you don't know why you're here, and quite everything was literally alien to you when you were brought into this universe some odd years ago. Okay? If you think back to being a kid, I know many of you have completely forgotten and are completely out of touch with the fact that, like, a child is just absolutely innocent, absolutely confused, and absolutely pure. You've been an adult for so long that you forgot at one point this entire experience of being alive was so extremely alien. And you forgot that basically every experience that you've had early on that had the slightest bit of mental, emotional, or physical pain was processed as life or death to you. And it was processed as a threat to your survival in your future, right? This is because when we're young, we have a limited map of reality. We have low intelligence. We have no context of life. And our brains and our nervous systems are incredibly sensitive. I don't know if you've been around kids recently or if you have young kids of your own. Just let's objectively put aside everything we think about ourselves and look at that child objectively, how they think, how they operate, how everything's a catastrophe, how they literally do not have the language skills to make sense of and process reality, okay? So as children, everything is taken out of proportion. Everything appears catastrophic. Everything lacks context and is subjectively falsified by the brain of a child. This is not because children are broken. This isn't because one child is raised better than the other. This is the natural evolution and biology in adaptation and expression of a child. This is what every child does. Everything's taken out of proportion. Everything's catastrophic. Everything lacks context. And everything is subjectively falsified by the brain. Okay? The meaning imposed on our experiences during our developmental phase are not objectively true. They feel subjectively true, right? They appear to be true to us in those moments. And whatever those experiences are, obviously they're true for us in the moment. But much of what comes after, the way we label, the way we interpret, and the meaning that we apply to those experiences are not necessarily objectively true, okay? And because we don't understand any of this, we take every experience as a fact, and they become our parts, they become our perceptions, they become our beliefs, they become our models, that we use to make sense of ourselves, to talk to ourselves, to have a relationship with ourselves, and ultimately the world outside of us. These experiences that we have form the neural networks in our brain. And when I say the neural networks, I'm using a neuroscience-based term that basically refers to your map, right? In neurolinguistic programming, there's a presupposition that states the map is not the territory, okay? We do not respond to reality. We respond to our internalized map of reality that we create. Okay, this is a very important thing to understand that we are creating, okay? How we represent things are our interpretations, and interpretations may not be accurate, okay? Your entire life is a representation, or I like to break that word down. It's very important that you break that word down. Your entire life is a representation of data and how you personally respond to your personal map. Okay. The thing that we all have to realize is that we are never responding to the world. Okay. For the world outside of your five senses is simply material objects moving in three-dimensional space. The only meaning that can ever be derived about reality can only be derived through a subjective conscious witness. You can only experience reality based off of your personal map. You can't experience a reality that is outside of the established neural networks that you've experienced. Those are your reference points, okay? And so let's break some of these down to you. How your parents talked to you, how they treated you, what was acceptable and what was not acceptable, their models of thinking, the energy of your home, how they handled conflict, the dynamic between your family and your siblings, the relationship between you and your siblings, the precision of language and how language was used, right? Or not used, what your family or the people around you did in their free time and how they handled that, how they handled conflict, challenges, and adversity, how they managed emotions, whether they even knew what emotions are, right? What are emotions? Simply sensations and signals in response to data. How they perceived you, whether they supported you, got to know you, believed in you. Every experience you ever had at school, in sports, on the playground, with your friends. Every piece of media you ever consumed, every book you read, every book you didn't read, and all the information you don't have. All of the movies, all of the media you've consumed, all of Hollywood's and this culture's promises, okay? Your experiences are what form your perceptions and beliefs and ultimately influence how your brain predictably models your reality, okay? So here's where we're getting into it. Okay. Now, between the ages of 0 and 7 and even up to about 14 years old, okay, and beyond, right? Your five senses are consciously and unconsciously scanning the environment, taking in millions or billions of bits of data every second to build a map, a modeling system of the world. Okay. Now, if you have a limited or inadequate map, you will be limited on your ability to see all of your available choices, okay? If your map or if your brain's neural network is filled with instability, inconsistency, a lack of safety, minimal support, confusion, and is frequently in a sympathetic nervous system-based state of survival, your ability to rationally, logically assess reality and all of the possible choices that are available to you become very, very limited. And this is because when we're in a survival-based state because of challenges, pains, and traumas that go unprocessed, right? When we're in a survival-based state, the prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that's responsible for logic, rationale, future thinking, creativity, problem-solving, actually is shut off or being used very, very minimally, okay? So think of this map as your personal unique interpretation and navigation system of reality. Your map is 100% unique to you. No two people on the planet have the exact same map of reality. This is why you can have a 1,000 people watch the same movie, and there will quite literally be 1,000 different unique interpretations of it. Okay. And let me give you an example of like how all these things you can experientially make sense of and connect together. Okay. This is abundantly clear in relationships. Right? If you've ever been in a relationship or have been married, you understand that the reason relationships are so challenging and are the most powerful containers for human mental, emotional, and spiritual growth and evolution is because we are in an intimate, energetically bonded, and vulnerable container with someone else who we allow into our map, and we do the same for them. And the reason we argue, the reason we fight, the reason we get triggered is because relationships hold the ultimate playground for the exploration and reflection of our map, our deepest values, our perceptions, our beliefs, our world models, our wounds, and our unprocessed traumas. We are in an intimately, energetically bonded setting with someone who has an entirely different map of reality as it relates to almost every layer of experience, from modeling the world, from intelligence, from past experiences in their neural network, from the energy state of our body, masculine and feminine dynamics, how connected to people, how connected to themselves people are, to the way we communicate and the precision of language, to the entire spectrum of someone's nervous system and how it responds to all of reality's possible data points, right? Like as we move through life and we internally represent information in our mind. Think of your brain like a computer that has not been built when you're born. And every experience you have represents the installation of some parts of that computer, like the graphics card, the motherboard, the fans, the GPU, the CPU, the RAM, the hard drive, the screws, the wires. Each and every data point that you take in through your five senses is being stored and has been stored in your mind, in a hard drive in your mind. And this is called the unconscious. Okay? So let's talk about this, because you've probably heard of the term conscious and unconscious, and nobody really understands it. So think of your conscious mind, right, as what you are currently aware of, like the temperature on your skin, the seat beneath your butt, the sound of my voice, and the items in your visual field in front of you. Okay, this is your conscious mind. This is the data that you can currently perceive. They say the conscious mind can hold about 7 plus or minus 2 bits of data at once, right? You can't be conscious of 100 things simultaneously. You only have a few things that you can consciously hold in your mind at one time before things start dropping off, okay? And so the default operating system of your conscious mind operates and is programmed off of past experiences, which are stored in your unconscious mind. This is until we learn how to reprocess the way our mind works and we begin to develop greater levels of self-awareness where we can begin to program or reprogram our conscious mind to learn how to become future-oriented rather than past-oriented. Okay, I have more information on this. And this shift, going from being past-oriented to future-oriented, is what begins to transform your life in ways you cannot begin to imagine, okay? Now, let's talk about the unconscious mind. Think of your unconscious mind like your downloads folder on your computer, okay? So, conscious mind is like the desktop and what you can see on the desktop. Your unconscious mind is like the downloads folder. And within that downloads folder, you have millions of subfolders, each representing some experience, a memory, or some component or aspect of reality. Okay. Now, if an experience that we have is deemed relevant and important by any means, that data is stored in a folder in your mind. If it's not important, you'll forget it, right? Breakfast, what you had 4 days ago, not important. You don't remember. But if an experience to any capacity is important as it relates to our survival or our ability to manage and move through life, relationships, self-image, possibilities of the future, all of that, right? It's going to be stored. It's going to be stored in a folder, okay? Every experience, every memory, if at a conscious or unconscious level, we deemed for it to be important, it is stored in our unconscious mind in a folder, Okay. In fact, if the experience that we have is heightened emotionally in any way, either through a positive emotion or a negative emotion, right? Like fear, pain, anger, hurt, betrayal, or anything else, the brain immediately takes a snapshot of that experience and it creates an even bigger folder, and it moves that folder to the top of the rest of them. Because the brain's primary biologically adapted goal is to protect you against pain, threat, and danger. Okay. The brain wants to keep you safe, and its main focus is survival, comfort, and safety. Okay. And again, I want you to not forget that you are an animal living on this planet. Okay. And up until very, very, very recently, this entire 40 to 80 year experience that we're all living was hardcore day-to-day survival. Okay. There was no abundance for most of our evolution. There was no paved roads. There was no cars. There was no technology. There was no grocery stores. Okay. So our entire biological operating system is extremely primitive. In fact, if you took a human from about 200,000 years ago and you brought them into the present, we would have virtually the same operating system. We'd have a similar brain, a similar digestive system, all of it. The two people compared from a medically examined point of view would be fairly indistinguishable from one another. Okay, our biology adapts very, very slowly, right? So if we have an experience like all of us do, right? Hundreds or thousands of these experiences during this very sensitive, where we are living in an alien environment, have no context, everything is catastrophic. We have low intelligence, high sensitivity, poor language skills, no context, no ability to rationally and logically reason, right? And we start going through all of these emotionally overwhelming and painful experiences that go completely unexamined, completely unprocessed, completely ignored, repressed, right? Again, think of your brain, this sponge, this operating system. It is exactly like a computer. It is so reliably, predictably accurate like a computer. These experiences become the perceptual glasses that we wear, and we unconsciously, again, this happens automatically. You're not doing this. We unconsciously filter all new experiences from that moment on through the neural networks of our brain to determine our next choice or action. So in every present moment, here's what's happening. Our five senses are taking in millions of bits of data. This data is automatically being distorted, generalized, or deleted based off of past data. This data is now filtered through what seems like the most closely related information in our memory bank, right? A representation that we have constructed, which may include a picture or a movie, an audio-like script like a voice, and a meaning that we apply to that memory, okay? All this is happening in fractions of a second, okay? And depending on what we apply, how we construct this data in our mind, our perspective of it, our interpretation of it, the meaning that we apply to it or did apply to it in the past, an emotional response is produced. That internal representation, representation of something that happened in the past comes up, we create it, and then an emotional response is created. The nervous system responds in accordance to, emotions are created in response to the representation of the brain, of the conscious witness. And then when an emotional response is created, then an action or a behavior is produced in response to that emotion. Okay? The brain is a predictable modeling program that uses past data to determine present moment and future possibilities. Now, when we don't understand any of this, when we didn't know any of this, and I'm sure many of you are learning this for the first time, okay? I didn't know this until I learned it. When we don't understand any of this, we are effectively living in autopilot. Okay, now don't take this the wrong way. Don't take this personally. Don't get offended, okay? Living in autopilot doesn't mean that you're not doing a good job. Doesn't mean that you're not self-aware. Doesn't mean that you're not doing good things or in control of your life or have been able to create success for yourself. What autopilot means is that there are patterns and programs that are running the system that we don't have awareness of, which influence our thinking, our sensations, and our behaviors, right? All of the programs that we modeled from our environment and installed as children and anxious teenagers take root and form our perception of self and models of reality. When we make progress in some area of life, but find ourselves frequently limited in other areas, this creates mental and emotional dysregulation. It creates frustration, it creates anger, it creates overwhelm. This persistent mental and emotional dysregulation, frustration, and overwhelm redlines the system, right? Which activates the most primal desire that we have as humans, which is to seek pleasure when we are in a state of pain. Go back and listen to that other episode where I talk about pain and pleasure. Everything, all of reality, is at the deepest fundamental level. I'm talking, you're not aware of this. You're not conscious of this. Every thought that you have, every decision you make is at the deepest, most primal level being filtered through, is this going to give me pleasure or is this going to move me away from pain? Okay. So alcohol, my friends, this is the world's modern Trojan horse. Okay. Alcohol further exacerbates your pain and pleasure balance by flooding your brain with abnormal levels of extremely temporary pleasure, only to follow up by prolonged, heightened levels of pain. There is no free lunch. You cannot win. You can't just have a little bit. The very nature of this biological operating system does not allow for you, the conscious witness, to have your cake and eat it too when you reach for a drug. There is always a cost, and the cost is and always will be infinitely more detrimental than the small reward you get at the beginning. And because the cost of alcohol, the pain of alcohol is so great, when you look at it, when I say you have to get clear on the pain, you have to see it, you have to feel it, you have to stop being in denial. Because the cost of alcohol, the pain of alcohol is so great and causes so much damage to your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health, your energy levels, your clarity, your sense of self, your fortitude, your constitution, your integrity, your family. Because the pain is so great and it persists for so long, the only choice you believe you have is to go back to the thing that offered you minimal reprieve the first time. And this, my fellow human, is addiction. This, my fellow human, is alcohol use disorder. This, my fellow human, is what creates alcoholism. You are not broken and you are not born this way. You are an innocent human who never learned its operating system, and you are attempting to find a way to make yourself feel better because you haven't found another way, because your map is limited as it relates to your understanding of managing this operating system. And that's it. Now, the good news is when you finally embark on this journey of doing the real work, okay, when you develop the courage within yourself to finally start your healing process, your reality will transform beyond your wildest dreams with enough time. Again, you do not know what you don't know. You didn't know any of this, let's say, 30 minutes ago, 28 minutes ago. You don't know what you don't know. When your map is limited, like, you can't perceive, you can't conceptualize the experiences, the energy that exists outside of that map. You can only experience up until what your life and perceptual and conscious map has afforded you. Okay. And when it comes to your potential, your life, the possibilities are limitless. But you can't experience them when you are afraid of facing the proverbial debt that you have to pay back for your actions. This is where extreme ownership and responsibility comes in. Okay, dude, alcohol is so small. It's like pennies on the dollar. You have no idea what's available on the other side when you develop this spiritual courage within yourself, when you arrive at that place in your humanity. When you develop the courage to just take the first step and start this journey, right? The easiest thing to do is to go and grab alcohol as an adult, okay? Alcohol is, it's bottom of the barrel, okay? It requires no skill. It requires no effort. Those who are in the worst conditions of their life seek alcohol for reprieve. It's not fancy. It's not classy. It's not sophisticated. What alcohol represents is an unwillingness to face one's truth, to face one's consciousness, to face one's reality. And it's marketed to us by the billionaires and the layers of corporations who control the consumption of all of our media. And it's marketed to us as exciting and fun and part of life's end goal, to finally relax and live stress-free. You were lied to. I was lied to. The thing you're consuming is ethanol. It's gasoline. It's toxic. It's a poisonous compound that causes cancer. And it is scientifically, medically, and objectively verified as the world's most harmful and dangerous drug to both self, the family unit, and society at large. The family unit especially. Alcohol is procrastination against your mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, and energetic evolution as a human being. It is the things humans use to manage their pain when they have no other way, when they have no other tools, when they have no other skills, when they have a limited map of reality. Okay, it's time to evolve. It's time to heal. It's time for you to develop the courage to finally be present, to finally get curious, to finally investigate what is inside you. Everywhere you go, there you are. You can't run from yourself. It's there. It's you. You know, it's time for you to develop the courage to take control of your life. How much longer are you going to wait? And then what? And then what? Are you going to do it eventually? Listen, you have to just rip the Band-Aid and you just have to start one day at a time. I still, 3 years sober, have not committed to never drinking again because it's the wrong program. That's not how we use our brain. Just like I had old programs that didn't serve me, that were keeping me limited and stuck and fearful and anxious of reality, of life, of connecting to my true authentic self. I was running the wrong program. And so you just have to rip the Band-Aid and start. And you just go one day at a time. You don't think about tomorrow. You don't think about the future. You don't think about never drinking again. Listen, the only time, if you feel like, you know, you got to wait until you wake up and feel ready, the only time you're going to feel ready, my friend, is when you destroy your life. When you hit rock bottom and you realize the pain is too much. When the pain is so blisteringly fucking in your face, moving through your body. That's the time you're going to feel ready. Okay. Other than that, you fucking rip the Band-Aid off and you start. There is no feeling ready. Nobody wants to quit drinking. Everybody wants to just drown in dopamine. And it's not because you're an addict or not an addict. This is the system. Dopamine has been responsible for our evolution, seeking pleasure, seeking, avoiding pain, feeling good. This is just what humans do. But it's a bottomless pit. There's no end to it. You can't win. So save yourself. Fight for yourself. Connect to some ounce of wisdom inside of you and take action before the impending catastrophe. This is what wisdom is. Wisdom is being able to see something before it happens. And you have to believe that it's going to be different when you go all in with the right systems, tools, strategies, support, community, coaches. You have to believe it's going to be different. Remember, like, you're a conscious witness to a system that runs on patterns and programs and models and interpretations of reality. Nothing is static. Nothing is etched in stone. There is no cement. The brain is always changing. Neuroplasticity is real. Every thought, every experience, every movement is shaping and changing your brain. This entire experience of reality can transform. It's fluid. Your nervous system can relax. It's all possible. All of this can be changed. Everything about you can be changed. All of it can be reprogrammed. You can heal. You're not destined to live within the confines of your pains and emotional reactions and painful past memories forever. There's freedom on the other side of this journey. And guess what? We just go one step at a time, one day at a time. You don't have to problem solve all of it tomorrow. You don't have to heal from all of it next week. You don't have to go into the deepest recesses and visit those things until you feel ready. And it's not a race. It's not a sprint. This is a marathon. How many years do you have left? 40 years, 50 years, 30 years, right? When you break it down, you just take it in manageable bite-sized chunks. And all you have to ever do as you embark on this journey is you just have to do your best today. That's it. There is no tomorrow. And we just simply iterate and optimize along the way. And if you just start and you keep going, you're going to get there. And that's it. That's it. If you just start and you keep going and you don't quit and you don't give up, you get there. You just keep iterating and optimizing. It's not personal. You don't suck. You're not weaker than. We are conscious witnesses to this operating system that is constantly operating and oscillating between pain and pleasure and trying to find a way to manage that. You're not broken. You're not less than. You didn't fuck up. You just keep trying. You just keep developing more self-awareness. You just keep developing more tools. You just bring in more support. You just bring in more accountability. You just find more people who are farther along, who seem like they've got it figured out, and you bring yourself in closer proximity to them. It's not a personal thing. You're a conscious witness to a set of patterns and programs that are predictable and clear once you understand them. And man, when you embark on this journey, when you commit to this process, you don't know what's available on the other side. I didn't know. And I continue to not know. And I am continually surprised. Like, dude, it's a reinterpretation process. That is how you grow. That is how you evolve. That is how you expand. You develop more context. You develop more nodes of connection of how thoughts and emotions and problems and challenges and communication problems between your spouse and, you know, limiting beliefs and fear. Like, once you understand it, you just one step at a time. And the things that have been blocking the expression of your energy start to dissolve. And you free up more energy. All of the parts of you that were protecting you from growth, from expansion, from evolution, all the parts of you that were protecting you from pain, they start to integrate. They start to dissolve. You start to develop awareness how it all connects together. It's all you. You're doing it. Your healing doesn't come from something magic outside of you. It's you. It's your courage. It's your willingness. It's your willingness. It's your courage to be present to curiously investigate, to compassionately be present to, and to feel and process the data inside of you, and to expand your map of how you make sense of it and process it, and to develop tools to become sovereign, to learn how to manage it. I hope that, like, what I'm sharing with you here helps you achieve a higher vantage point in the way that you interpret yourself and this existence that we're all perplexed by called life. I assure you, there's so much to learn. There's so much to discover. This is what I'm sharing with you is the tip. It's the tip of the iceberg. Just imagine who you could be if you could finally express your truest, rawest, purest, authentic energy. your truest self without limitation, without fear. Imagine the father, the mother, the leader, the entrepreneur you could be. If you were at point A and you could freely move and express towards point B without these limitations, without these stories, without these interpretations, without these meanings, without these things that freeze you, imagine the impact that you could have. Imagine the life that you could build for yourself over time and the people around you if you let go of the dead weight that was drowning you. If you could reinterpret the patterns and programs and interpretations and meanings that you applied to yourself in moments where you had a completely limited map of self, map of reality, map of the dynamic of the human experience that maybe at one point served you. Let's thank those parts of you that served you and helped you survive and make sense and take the next step when you were in immense amounts of pain. But it's fully grown, wise, mature, resourceful adults no longer serve us. I'm telling you, it's more beautiful than you can begin to imagine. You just start. You just take it one day at a time. You work a program, you get support, you get accountability. You upgrade the models of consciousness. I'm not like bullshitting you here. I'm not like think back to when how you process reality as a 7-year-old. If you can think that far, if you're not driving, close your eyes. If you can take yourself back to that, and then take yourself to when you were 30, think about how you're on different planets when you're 7 versus 30. Your map of all contexts is so expanded in such a way that you laugh at it. You can't compare it. And when we embark on this journey of removing alcohol from our life and we turn inward, which is what every sage, which is what every spiritual master of every whatever, God, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, every person you admire, every person you revere, they say the same thing. If you want to evolve, you have to begin this journey inward. It's not about the things outside of you. It's about developing the courage and the capacity to go within. That is where an infinite, I'm saying infinite amount of map and expression and potential and possibility exists. So I hope this was helpful. I hope this helped you develop even a 1% degree in a lateral or upward movement in your interpretation and perception of self and reality, in how you became who you are and why you are the way that you are, and how it's all changing, and how it all can transform, and how it's all fluid. But it takes you, your willingness, your courage to begin that journey. We just go one day at a time. That's it. So thank you for listening. If you'd like to work with me, visit www.thestopdrinkingcoach.com and scroll to the bottom, check out what people in my community have to say about their experience in my program working with me. Again, these aren't curated. People just post this in the channel. And I screenshot it and I block out their name for privacy. It's just what people are saying. And if my content has been helping you, send me an email. Send me an email at support@thestopdrinkingcoach.com or send me a message on Instagram @thestopdrinkingcoach. I'm fueled. I'm motivated by service and impact. And the more that I see that my work is working, the more I'm inspired to create more, to build more, to sink deeper into my passion, and to build more and to give back to you, to enhance the quality and experience and expression of your lives. So please let me know. And if you haven't already, I'd appreciate it if you left a 5-star review to help this message reach more people who need it. You can leave a 5-star review on Spotify, and you can go to Apple and leave a 5-star review, and you can leave an actual comment. I deeply appreciate your support. you know, for you listening, for you taking the time out of your day. And I hope that my energy, I hope that my expression, that my truth, and everything that I've been able to develop is helping you as well. So I deeply appreciate your support, and I will see you in the next episode.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with your friends or someone you know who might be struggling with alcohol. And if you feel like you're ready to finally transform your relationship with alcohol, visit www.thestopdrinkingcoach.com and book a call with me. I offer private one-on-one and group coaching to make letting go of alcohol easier and more sustainable than you ever thought possible. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.